Okay, Q.
All right. So Father said, "Dear team, I give you my love. I know that a few weeks ago I said that I would give all of you a few weeks off, a working vacation. Things have become a little complicated in all our lives. This is why I gave you this time, so that you would have the strength to deal with everything that was thrown at you. Yes, I know you feel overwhelmed. I am trying to prepare all of you for the future. It will not be easy for any of you, but I am with you." So I just want to make sure that everybody can hear me well, because I hear some background noise. Is anybody having difficulty hearing me?
I can hear you.
We can hear you.
Okay.
You're good.
All right. "This past service for the departed was the largest service to date. Trillions found grace. It is because of your efforts and those in eternity that we had such a success. Continue to keep your eyes and hearts open. Some of you were introduced to new realms, which my son will share with you tonight. There are many more realms with conditions that you have never heard of and that I will reveal to each of you in time. They will become your personal charges. You will tell all those around you about these realms so more can offer prayers on their behalf. Some of the heartache you are feeling still is because of your connection to the realms. They all know who you are. They know your names and what they stand for. Do you? Do you really understand why I chose you? Why I gave you these specific names? It is not by chance that I gave you this name. And as my son often says to me, 'May I have your attention, Father? Or are you distracted while creating another universe?' I will always pay attention to the details. I have thought about all of you before time began. I chose you, molded you, and spent millennia crafting your gifts and creating your specific name. Stop now and think about that process. I do not do things quickly. I am slow and methodical. You are who you are because of all I have given you. And now, what is it that I expect of all of you? I expect all of you to shine brighter than the largest star in any universe, to catch and captivate all of mankind, so that when the darkness comes and fills many hearts, those who seek after the light will find it in you. Shine brightly, guardians. Protect the bride. Defend the apostles and help bring this plan to an end. The time is shorter than you think. I am moving all of the hearts within the leaders of our church. Some of them are very stubborn. Trisus likes the term in the Old Testament used to describe the Jewish nation, a stiff-necked people. I have told my son in the past that if anyone gets in the way of my plan, I will remove them from the path. I will have my will served, and it will happen as I have designated it. Make no mistake, I will complete this plan within the time frame I gave it. So be strong. Continue to fight. Continue to heal in my name. Protect the weak and downtrodden, and always remember every soul is an extension of me. Love all of them in spite of their quirks and irritating qualities. You will not judge them. You will serve all of them. I am always here to love you and give you everything you will ever need, so that in time we can all come home and embrace one another for the rest of eternity." Pretty sweet. Yes, that is what my boy says all the time. And yes, it will be pretty sweet.
Thank you. Does anybody have any questions? Okay. I would like to give everybody my peace before we move forward. Before we start hitting the agenda I have for this evening, I asked Trisus if he would please share with everybody what's been going on with him, because we had this barrage of emails going back and forth. So, General T, you are up.
In a nutshell, gallbladder
had some gallstones that blocked up the common bile duct to the pancreas, and pancreatitis, I guess, set in. I didn't really have any pain. I mean, I think about the last time we talked, it was at that meeting. I had no pain at all. I woke up in the morning with feeling like someone was stabbing me about 3:30 in the morning. I laid there for about 3 hours. It got so bad that I had to go to the ER. Long story short, they couldn't do anything with the pancreas or gallbladder because it was too inflamed, so basically they kept me on morphine for 4 days. After that, they figured out that I still wasn't getting better, so they removed the gallstones, then put me on morphine for another 4 days. They felt that I was feeling good enough to remove the gallbladder, so they removed that. They actually released me in less than 24 hours. They said they didn't want to go into nursing, but I don't remember any of those conversations, so I ended up getting released to home. Within a couple hours, my chest started hurting. I started having chest pains. I couldn't breathe, so we called an ambulance. A bunch of good-looking young men took me back to the hospital and got admitted. It was put under more morphine, and then they did a whole study of tests to make sure it wasn't blood clots in my heart. Ended up just being fluid. They put me on a regime of some medicine to remove the fluid, and then I laid there basically releasing fluid without being crude for 3 days. Almost 9 liters. And then Friday, they moved me to a nursing facility, or a rehab facility, as we're calling it, so I don't feel sad. Ambulance crew brought me up here. And then over the weekend, they released another 3 liters of fluid. Since Monday, I've lost another 7 pounds of fluid. I don't know what the volume is, but I'm down below the weight where I was when I was first admitted into the hospital. My daily routine is rehab a couple times a day. It's limited because of my mobility. I was able to dress myself today. I was able to get out of the bed and get into a chair by myself, but I still can't really walk. I have almost no strength in my hands. But on a positive note, I feel good. So as a celebration to God's wisdom, my gallbladder is probably what was keeping me ill for at least 9 months, 10 months. I can actually eat now. I want to eat. I'm hungry. I feel like I'm actually moving better. So all these months thinking it was the disease, it was actually the gallbladder and the pancreas. So it's a good thing. The people are pleased with my progress. And now it's just a fight with the insurance company to, you know, stay here until I'm healthy. I'm on a week-by-week with them. So I get the weekend to rest, and then Monday starts the conference calls with the nursing home with the insurance company to allow more time. But I'm probably here for at least another week, trying to get stronger. My job's protected. I'm getting plenty of short-term disability. There's no chance of me getting released from ADP. So, I'm good. So I'm in a better place. I'm healthy. I appreciate all the prayers. I can feel it on a daily basis. I can feel the concern. So I'm better. I'm not good, but I'm better. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. All right. Hang on. Got to pull up my itinerary whilst I'm driving.
And don't kill yourself.
No, I won't. Okay. So we've been calling, if you have two, if you have a healing master and a psychic surgeon, then you'll continue to call them that. If you have only one, it's getting a little confusing calling them a healing surgeon and blah, blah, blah. So from this point forward, if you end up with just one, we're just going to call them the healing master because they are the master of everything. This makes life easier. 2 weeks ago, I changed us from liberating, I think we were at 5 million realms. We're at 10 million now. And that's why Father made the point that this service is probably one of the largest services that we've ever had. I want to ask everybody to make sure that you are protecting your congregation, that you've installed that gold cage around the altar. It's important that you monitor that every time you go to the service. make sure that the portal that was there has been blocked off, or you boarded it up, or you blocked it off somehow so that the ministers are not being tormented in any way by Satan and his. I want to ask everybody if you're actually meditating. Father gave us this last 3-week period of time. I actually said to him, everybody's lives have been turned inside out during this 3-week period of time. I said it was anything but a working vacation. I said, but I know that you allowed us to have a little bit of a break. I don't know, his impression of a break and ours are totally different things apparently. But I know that he gave us the opportunity so we could meditate. I actually spent some time with Raphael. I actually had him work with my Amanda, who's my healing master, and the two of them actually gave me an energy healing, which was pretty sweet. So I would encourage everybody to take an opportunity to employ him the next time you're getting a healing. It's important that we all continue to spend time with all the archangels. They have all different kinds of virtues, and they can assist us in so many different facets that I don't even think I even have any understanding yet of how much they can help us. If we're looking for patience or we're looking for more understanding, then look and see which angel is the one who bears that virtue and spend some time with them in the middle of your, in the center of your mind, okay? Does anybody have any questions about any of that stuff at this point? Okay. Yep, go ahead.
I was just going to say, it's not just in the center of my mind either that the archangels have come. They've come into, you know, the gut chakra or the belly chakra, depending on kind of where the issues lie.
Right. No, I mean, meet him there. Find him, meet him in the center of your mind, and then go wherever you go from that point.
Got it. Okay.
Cool. Anybody else? Okay. On the preparatory service for the departed, a young man came and knelt down in front of me, and he said, I am from the realm of the imperfect. And I said to him, aren't we all? And he kind of turned his head a little bit, and he said, no, you don't understand. He said, our hearts are like stone, and love cannot penetrate it. Would you please remember us? I said, okay, so I'm letting you guys know. Please pray for the realm of the imperfect. Aerostar had his own experience last Saturday when he was meditating. If you'd just like to share that part right now, Aerostar, with everybody, please.
Yeah, of course. So I was just preparing to, on that week we were preparing to give healings, but that didn't happen because of time constraints. So I was going to be preparing for that, so I sat down to meditate. And as I was meditating, I was approached by a young boy. And this is my first experience ever with the soul, so I was questioning if it was a spirit, soul, or demon. Obviously, I didn't get any bad vibes from it, so it wasn't a demon. And then I narrowed it down to a soul, and I found out his name. His name is Julian, and he comes from the realm of the undivided. And I was curious as to what that was, because I'm like, I've never heard of Trilin talking about that before. And he goes, well, basically, it's the realm where there are twins in the womb, and when the one twin dies, it basically feels like it can't be forgiven, and it feels like it's unloved, because they think that they gave up on life. Like, it views itself as, oh, I gave up, when we know that's not true.
Okay. So, please remember the imperfect. Please remember the undivided. I'm going to ask everybody if you've had the opportunity to write your letter to the Chief Apostle, the Disc Apostle, and the Apostle Orlovsky. If you haven't, because I know these last 3 weeks have just been a nightmare for some of you, I'm going to ask you that by the time we get to the next meeting, which is April 10th, that you'll actually have all three of those letters written and burned, please. Okay? It's very important. Q had an experience when he was writing his letter. The Holy Spirit inspired him to put something in the letter, and I asked him if he would be willing to share that with the team. So, Q.
Okay. Well, first, I found it interesting that all three letters were completely different. And I thought that was amazing. And interestingly, the shortest one was to our apostle. It was just quick and to the point. But I wrote my letter to the District Apostle Cole first, And I didn't keep a copy of it, but after Trilin talked to me, then I just basically rewrote it in shorthand. But I started out by saying, it's been a long time since I've spoken with you. I wish you and your family well, and our Heavenly Father's richest blessings, and I hope all is well. And I started out by saying, I'm writing this letter to build a bridge and a path. I want to share something with you that's extraordinary, but what I want to remind you of is that the Bible, most everything in the Bible, is extraordinary. And if we take that word and take it apart, it means extraordinary. It's just extraordinary. There are many things beyond belief. And then I stated that Father's work is vast, and there it's multifaceted, and there's a lot involved, and there's a lot that we don't know, even though we learn things all the time. And then I changed direction and said, the world is full of evil, and there are so many extremely evil things that are happening. It just reminds us that Satan's goal is to steal the bride from Christ. So the bride needs protection. And then this is the part that really struck me, and so I called Trilin and I texted and asked if I could read them to him, because this really struck me when I wrote this. Father cannot entrust this great task of protection of the bride to just anyone. He decided to entrust this care to someone who is very close to him. And when I wrote that, I kind of had chills, because that's exactly right. I mean, how would it be any different? If the bride for the Lord Jesus, it has to be someone who's very close to him. And so then I put in the letter, so why wouldn't this be Jesus? And then I go on to explain that Jesus never harmed anyone. It's not in his nature. He doesn't even come close. Now, he went in and into the temple and pushed over the money tables and made everybody leave, but he didn't do that with, you know, he didn't harm anyone. He just made them leave, basically. And so when you think about protection, protection is potentially harmful and could include violence. And this just isn't Jesus. Before the beginning of time, Father anticipated this need to provide protection for the bride. And that's why he chose, before the beginning of time, his second son, Trilin. And he kept this a secret so that no one would ever think to try to be him. And then I closed it out.
Thank you.
Wow.
I asked him to share that with you for the simple fact that after he read that to me, I looked at Father, and he kind of turned his head sideways, and he looked at me, and he said, are you starting to get it now, boy? Do you understand why I chose you and the task that I gave you, and why I chose all those that are standing by your side? And that's why he kind of reiterated tonight in his message to all of us about the name that he gave each and every one of you, and how long it took him to pick that name for you. And he didn't use the word agonize, but that was what I got the impression from him when he dictated this letter to me on Tuesday, was that he was very concerned about making sure that when he crafted your name for you and myself, that it specifically fit who we are and the gifts that we have all been given. And all of these gifts have not been given for you and me. They've been given so that we can protect Jesus' bride. Nothing more. And then I will take it a step further, and that's why he also said, can you stop and think for a moment of that process? Millennia, before time even began, Father was crafting who you were going to be, what he needed you to have, and then he put the name and associated it with you as a guardian. Then he took it a step farther, and he gave all of us this responsibility to protect Jesus' bride. It's not by coincidence that out of the trillions of souls that have walked this planet, he picked you 10 people in this end time to work with me. Stop for a second and think about that. Sometimes I know we all get wrapped up in our lives. We get angry at Satan for what he's doing to us and what he's doing to our loved ones. But the biggest goal is for you and I to maintain our calm. And I'm listening to exactly what's coming out of my mouth, too. To not let Satan get a chance to upset us, to tap us off our game. Father, at the beginning of this entire journey for me said, the person who masters their emotions masters their life. I'm gonna put that back out there again. I am going to try that my hardest. I have made a continual conscious effort recently to stop swearing. I used to never swear, but recently, over the last few months, because life sucks, I've been just going into that groove, and I kneel down in front of Father crying, going, I don't know what's going on. I'm sorry. You expect better of me. I will be better. I'm asking everybody, look at your name. If you don't have a copy of it, it is on the team website. And take a minute and think about and imagine this, Father sitting there on his throne, rubbing his chin, and thinking to himself, what should I call this person? Why would I call them this? What are the attributes that they're going to carry? What do I need to give my second son so that he can protect my big brother's bride in the end? What is it all going to entail? And Father took his time, and he put us all together, and he's placed you and I in these positions. And he didn't just willy-nilly go, oh, okay, I guess these people will do. No. He knew everything that you and I would fight for. He knew everything that we would be willing to sacrifice for him and for the bride. And that's why he picked you, folks. And I thank him every day that I have you. Does anybody have any questions? Okay. Brilliance had an experience with her healing master, so I've asked her if she'd share that with the team.
Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Hello. So this is kind of the second edition from our last conference call. If you remember, I was asking specifically what to do, and we didn't feel as if one of our personal teammates was providing the type of service that we just somehow knew should be provided. So anyways, fast forward, I did as what was instructed. I was getting ready to meditate, and while I was preparing for meditation, I prayed to God about this situation with my healing angel. So as I was praying and getting into my meditative state, all of a sudden an angel showed up, and I said, oh, hello, how are you? And she introduced herself as Sarah. And I knew in just that moment that she was my new healing angel. And I thought, well, this is fantastic. You know, I already have a replacement. And so I said, Sarah, well, let's go find Sunny. Sunny was the healing angel that I didn't feel ran with the same energy as me, or I didn't feel confident in carrying out orders. So we go looking for her, and we found her surrounded by darkness. And you could sense evil around, but it wasn't the kind of evil that one senses when it's going to attack you. And in the moment, it was very confusing. But in waiting a moment to assess the situation, the vision came into perspective, and it was that she was being held captive by evil. So there, I took care of all the evil that was around her, and she was released, and she humbly, painfully crawled to me and apologized for not being able to provide the support that she was created, for lack of a better word, to do. And I told her, I said, well, this explains it. You are captive of evil. And I said, thank you so much for your effort, and your time is done. And so she was put into a beautiful golden cage and sent back to Father. The reason that I wanted to share this was because it's a different perspective. You know, on many of our calls, we talk about, some people have talked about, the feeling of evil and newness. And I wanted to just highlight the importance of the benefit of discernment. It's true I could have gone in there and killed her right away because I did sense evil. But in a moment of this, allowing the perspective to come into whole, I would have been destroying a being that didn't deserve to be destroyed, to be quite frank. And in that moment, it was revealed to me that not only the benefit of discernment, but being good stewards of our gifts, and the fact that we're guardians, not assassins. And of course, when something attacks us or we are brought into a battle, absolutely, we have to engage all of our gifts. But I guess I share this story, and I'm thankful to share the story so that we can remember the benefit of discernment. Because sometimes reacting in an uncomfortable situation, is that uncomfortability fear? Is it insecurity? Is it just being uncomfortable? Or are we truly being provoked and attacked? Again, this plan that Father has isn't about us. He could do this on his own. But just as Triland said, he chose us from the beginning of time to support Triland in the end time. And I found it very interesting that, you know, in the letter or during our discussion before sharing this, Father talked about being slow and methodical, and he wants us to shine brighter than the largest star in the universe. And Triland just talked about maintaining our calmness. Again, we are equipped with amazing gifts and talents that God himself gave us, amazing armor, and it's going to continue to grow. But I'm thankful to share this with all of you, if for no other reason, to consider the importance of discernment. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you. I want to stay in that vein for a moment.
Thanks.
You folks are some of the most powerful beings Father's ever created, period. There isn't anybody else on this planet that can do what you can do. And I will tell you that a person's strength is not measured by how much they can lift, but by how much they can control themselves. And I would put up anyone against our brother Jesus, because as far as I'm concerned, he is the strongest man who ever walked this planet, because he knew how to control himself. He never let himself lose it. He rarely ever got angry and lashed out at somebody. He maintained his calm through every situation, and I'll tell you why. Because he knew exactly who he was. He knew the love that Father had for the soul that was standing in front of him. He saw beyond the flesh, and always saw that little piece of Father in this person. And that is why he always maintained himself and stayed strong. I'm going to ask all of us, the new theme of us being guardians is restraint. If something comes to provoke you, we don't automatically have to wipe it out. We can look at it and encourage it to walk away, but I'll be honest with you, because it's from Satan, it knows it's either going to get destroyed or it's going to have to finish its task or Satan's going to destroy him. So, well, then we'll give him the option that Satan can destroy his own. I'm not telling you that now we're going to become these little willows in the wind and we're going to bend and take all the abuse that comes. That's not what I'm saying. But in the past, I've kind of given you the directive to kill more, pog, ask questions later, let it all work out. No. As guardians, we need to stand at the gate and evaluate everything that's in front of us, because I'll be honest with you, down the road when this becomes incredibly public and the entire world finds out about us, you're going to have human beings getting all up in your face, all up in your business. And if you and I can't maintain our calm with the other side right now, how are we going to maintain our calm with a human being? And then if you and I slip up or we do something stupid, the media is going to have a field day with that. We are not going to give them that opportunity. And I would encourage everyone, even at this point, that if you get barraged by a bunch of people asking you questions, and you know that if you answer, it's going to get twisted, do what Jesus did. Remain silent. Say absolutely nothing and walk away. Because he said to me, you can't twist something that isn't said. Anybody have any questions at this point? Anybody have any comments?
I do, Triland. In our small group discussion, it's not amazing. I can use that word because a lot of times we're so simple-minded that we think it is amazing that something that came up then you just said. But we know that it's not amazing. It's just part of what this is all about. But
right.
What you said about that strength came up in our small group discussion. We show strength in our control and not physically. I mean, and
right.
Jesus was the strongest. It came out in our small group exactly the way you said it. That's beautiful.
Wow.
HS, gotta love that guy. Somebody else had something they wanted to say?
Luminance dropped the call.
Who did?
Luminance.
Luminance, okay. Have her try and call back in. Text her.
It keeps failing to try to call in.
Can she call you and then you contact her in?
She can't hit redial.
No, you got to recall. Call the whole thing.
Okay.
Yeah, you can't hit redial.
Oh, yeah.
She's got to dial fresh. That was my problem, too. It won't let you redial.
Probably got one of those fancy iPhones. God bless Apple. We'll wait for her.
Okay. I just texted her that.
It's a beautiful night in the middle of Michigan.
It is indeed.
It's going to drop down to normal temperatures.
It's 41 degrees where I currently am.
On a side note, I'm in this nursing facility with no heating or air conditioning. There's no ventilation, so I keep my window open, and everybody that walks in goes, "Oh," I'm like, "I know I have that effect on people." Oh, it feels so good in here. Yeah, I know. It's me. It's. Oh, I thought it was the window. No, it's me. It's me.
Yeah, he also has a smoking hot therapist that's working with him, too. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, my mom wanted to know if I was being treated well, and I said, well, it's kind of like a spa. I got people bathing me, feeding me, massaging me. I got pretty girls holding my hands. other than the pain and wanting to die, yeah, I guess it's kind of like a spa.
Can I interject real quick?
Yep.
She still can't do it even after she tried redialing. She's in the car right now. So should I just hang up, have her call me, and then how do I do this? I don't know how this works.
Have you ever conference called anybody to your phone?
You don't have to hang up. Yeah.
Oh, I don't?
Yeah,
okay.
You don't have to hang up. Just have her dial you, and then you're going to get the second line, and you're going to hit merge phone calls.
Okay, I'm going to try that.
Tryland, this is brilliant. I apologize.
Yes.
I'm going to have to jump off the phone in 4 minutes. My husband just texted me that they're giving out the awards for the winter hockey season, and the parents have to walk up with their kid, and he's like, can you please come in from the parking lot?
Nope, that's fine. Go ahead. We love you.
I love you guys. Thank you so much.
I love you.
Love you. Later. Bye-bye.
All right.
Hey, I can call her. My phone is all ready if someone just wants to give me her number because I don't have it.
Brandon, you want to give him the phone number?
She's on the phone. Or she's on the phone now, isn't she?
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
You're here.
Cool.
Yes.
All
hi.
Right.
All right. Good.
Okay. All right. All right, Aerostar, he had an experience this week, so would you please share with the team?
Okay, so it happened on Monday, and so actually this entire, weekend that happened over when we were in Kalamazoo was a whole faith-filled weekend, obviously, and it carried on into Monday. When we were coming back from Kalamazoo on Sunday, I had, word that apparently my team was corrupted, so I had to kill them and have them be replaced. I think that was in the email that Tryland wrote, but I had Michael help me with that. So there's that experience with that. But so Monday came around, and I woke up, and I was feeling more exhausted than usual, and I don't know why, considering I had a full 8 hours of sleep, and I was doing well, and I was, all right, I'm going to get through school and do all this, but I just felt highly unmotivated the entire day. And after I came home from school, I was going to meditate, but I don't know what happened. I think I had to go somewhere with my mom or something. I don't remember. But eventually, I got to the end of the day, and it was quite late. It wasn't too late, but it was around like 7 p.m. that I eventually sat down to go meditate. And when I meditate, I usually start off and I make sure everyone's there, and before I actually start grounding myself. And I couldn't find my healing master. And I was confused, so I texted Tryland. I was like, hey, what's going on? Where is my healing master? And he texts back. He goes, uh-oh. And I go, uh-oh, what? He goes, Satan has her captive in hell. And I'm like, oh, what do you mean by that? And he's like, you need to go to hell. He's like, bring Michael, get your legions, and go. And I was like, okay, is there like anything I need to do? I need to actively find where hell is, or will I be brought to it by Michael? And he's like, you'll be brought to it by Michael, and just go, you need to get her. And I was like, okay, all right, I'll let you know when I'm done. And so I call Michael for help, and he comes, and he goes, before we go, you need to ground yourself. So I grounded myself, and he's like, make sure you strengthen your heart chakra, because this can be very wearing. I was like, okay, so I strengthened that. And after I was done, we started going. And as I was, he's like, all right, let's go. So then we go. And for some reason, I got the impression that it was, like, there was, like, a mountain. But it looked like the Mount St. Helens over in Washington. I don't know. So anyways, we were there immediately. And then we just started going down. And it just started getting obvious. Oh, okay. Good. So I was in the right area. It started getting really black and just dark and cold. And I started, this is after I worked out, by the way, so I was kind of heated up. And I was like, all right, I got to meditate. I'm like, right now, because during my workout, I was running out of energy, and I kept running out of energy. I kept filling myself up with the spring or the waterfall over my head, but it wouldn't work. And I was like, all right, I gotta get some energy back before I'm able to do this. Otherwise, it gets too late, and I shower, and I'm going to be really tired. But so, I start getting cold, and I roll down my sleeves, and I'm like, wow, this is a cold that I have never felt before, even in the sub-zero temperatures of Illinois in midwinter. Doesn't even compare. And I start going down and down and down, and for 5 minutes, I believe, it was a long time, I just kept going down. And there was just angels all around me going down, and Michael promised, he's like, you're not going to get touched. He's like, I promise you that. He's like, you will most likely not even have to raise your weapon. He's like, I'll make sure that nothing touches you. I'm like, okay, because I'm pretty freaked out. I don't know what this is. And he goes, think of this as your pre-training to your training that's going to happen. I'm like, okay. So eventually we get down there, and I can't see anything. And I'm looking around. And like was said before, the only light that there is off of you and obviously Michael and everyone else is around you. And so I started going forward. And he goes, wait. He's like, you don't know where you're going. He's like, hog the ground and it'll create a light path to her. I was like, okay. So I did that. And this light blue guide trail popped up beneath me. And it got more faint as it went out that I can see. So I was looking down, and then there was just demons everywhere. And left and right, there's, like, pogging going on from the angels, from the light brigades, and I'm, like, just, like, walking with Michael, and he's like, go quickly. He's like, we need to go. So we start running eventually, and I get to, like, this old-time mansion. I don't know, it looked like an old 1800s mansion, but it was completely dark, and only when I approached it, like, it was actually, like, fluorescent looking. It looked like it was completely black and shadowy. And so I went inside of it, because that's where the path led up to. And I go in, and then there's demons everywhere, and I pog, and they all explode everywhere. And it leads downstairs eventually into like this cellar basement. It's like an old wine cellar, like straight out of like an old house, obviously. And my healing master is tied up. And I grab her, and she's like, I'm sorry. I'm like, you don't need to apologize. I don't know why you're apologizing. I'm like, obviously, this is supposed to happen for a reason. So I got her, and out of nowhere, I don't know, it might have been my lead angel, but I hear Aerostar, look out, and I turn around, and I pull out my sword, and I kill the demon that's, like, coming to attack me. And I was like, I didn't do that. I don't know why that happened. But all right, I guess I just saved myself. And so we started going out. And as we started going out, the pathway was, like, fully blocked off by demons everywhere. And then you just see the angels go ahead, and they start pogging. And the path, like, a path opens up. And Michael and I, and he grabs me, and we're running. And we eventually get up, and, like, out of nowhere, I'm outside of the mountain, and then we're back in the center of my mind. And he goes, Michael goes, she's very, very tired right now. She's like, she's very drained. And he's like, you need to pour some of your energy onto her because she's made out of you. He's like, pour your energy onto her so she can gain some strength back. So I did that. And I thanked Michael for his help for all that. And then I thanked Father, obviously. And I prayed to him, and I was like, that was a crazy experience. And that was it. I don't know. It was crazy.
Did you get your welcome card when you made it to hell?
Oh, wait, I forgot to mention. Yeah, Michael turned to me while we were down there. He's like, let's claim this for the Creator. I'm like, okay. So he gives me a flag, and it's the church emblem.
That's
and I
awesome.
Place it down, and then that's why it was it, like the entire place just lights up, but it wasn't like super bright. It like, looked like it was normal again, and then that's when we made our way out, obviously, during that point. But so that happened, and it was crazy.
Wonderful.
Good job.
There you go. Congratulations. Now.
Well done.
Let me just say that not everybody on the team is going to have to go to hell, okay? All of your gifts are based on what Father feels you need to cover and carry, so I don't want someone who hasn't had the opportunity to go to hell to think to themselves, oh, man, I wish I could go to hell. You might.
Thanks a lot, okay? Man.
I just want to throw that out there, just in case that's swelling in your heart. Everyone has the opportunity to go to hell, and when
not
people
everybody
tell you should go to hell, you can tell them I've been there. It's nothing special, okay? I just want to say that. I had the opportunity to speak to Lauren Rasmussen. She took back her original maiden name. And I thought we were going to talk on the phone for about 20, 30 minutes. We talked for almost 3 hours. Wow. And during that conversation, she shared everything that's happened with her through the whole time since she left the team. And then everything that transpired between her and Steve, and then she got the divorce, and now things are finalized. She ended up selling the house they were in, and she and her son have moved into an apartment. She said her life is still pretty much upside down. She did not say no to my offer to come back to the team. She just said, I still need some more time. And I said, you take as much time as you need. I said, the last thing I want is for you to commit to me that you're going to be a part of our team, and then another year from now, you look at me and just say, I can't do this. I said, I'm informing my entire team from this point forward that death is the only way you get off the team for me not to physically see you, but you can never get off the team. So it's out there. You all are aware of that now. But she said, I appreciate the team praying for me, because I told her, I said, you have to understand something. I said, even though you left the team, I said, you were still kind of connected to us. And through this, I said, I know some of the people that are on the team have been praying for you and have been asking about you. I said, so at one point, she said to me, she goes, can I just ask you something? And I said, you can ask me anything you want. She said, why would you want me back on the team? And I paused for a minute, and I said, well, I have to tell you, I said, you have such potential. I can see that. I said, but you can't see that. I said, I never once asked you why you even left the team. I said, and I never had the nerve to ask Father. I said, because, you know, he's not going to give up the information and betray you or any other soul in any way to give me information. I said, so honestly, I never asked him. I said, it doesn't really matter at this point. And she said, I honestly don't even have an answer for you. I said, okay, that's fine, you don't have to. I said, but you've always been in my heart. I said, there's always been a connection I have with everybody that's been a part of my team that Father's put there. I said, so the love that I have for you, I said, we're not called healers anymore. We're called guardians. I said, and the whole dynamic of who we are and what we do has changed a little bit. And yesterday, I actually emailed her a copy of Father's message to us just to, you know, throw it out there. And she responded back with, it's very nice. Apparently, the Apostle Orlovsky was in Kalamazoo to hold the funeral for our friend Wendy. So she actually was there and was able to hear that service. I told her, ultimately, I said, honestly, I said, this is the longest conversation I've ever had with you, ever. And I said, it's very nice. And she said, I agree. I said, and I apologize that your team was queered when you were on my team. I said, that's my fault that I didn't police your team. I said, I honestly didn't know that this could happen. I said, and I'm not going to paint you this picture of roses. I said, one of the guardians had to destroy his entire protection team this week. I said, it's a nonstop moving event for all of us on this team that we have to always be on our guard. I said, and that's why Father's doing that. I said, so if you want to talk, we can talk again. I said, I'm going to be in Kalamazoo again at the end of April. If you want an energy healing, you can reach out to me or you can even reach out to Atmos. I said, and I'll be honest with you, Atmos said to me, I really would like to get her back. And she laughed. I said, the work that has to be done in the Kalamazoo, or I said, your new congregation, whatever the name of it is, I said, is immense. And it's too much for one guardian to handle. I said, I'm not pushing you any pressure or anything. I said, just know that we're praying for you. Take your time. We'll work through it. And she said, okay, I'll let you know. I said, fine. So I'm going to ask everyone if you just pray for her.
Did you mention the retirement plan?
No. I told her that I keep asking for raises, but Jesus is being such a Jew telling us we don't have any money. So I tell her, I said, if you come back to the team, I said, you get the exact same pay you got last time. Okay? But she laughed. I went, but I said, you get to serve mankind in a way that no other human being gets to. I said, and that is something in itself. So I said, just think about it. She goes, I have been. She goes, there hasn't been a day. She goes, I was surprised that you actually offered that to me. I said, I'll be honest with you. You were the only one out of anyone who's ever left the team. I said, and 9 people have left the team to date. I am not interested in asking any of those people back, just you. I said, I did ask Luminous to come back. I said, that was part of a test for me and her. I said, but I needed her back. She has accepted. She's back on the team. I said, outside of that, I'm not asking anyone else to come back. So pray for her. On a personal note, everybody remembers Olivia Friend, who used to be part of the team. Her dad was laid off this week, lost his job. He's been with that company for over 15, close to 20 years. So if you would please remember the Friend. Also, Lightstar's husband, Brad, he lost his job this week as well. But that guy has already got 3 interviews set up next week. And he texted me and I said, you know what? The next time I'm unemployed, Father and I are going to have a really long conversation if I don't get some interviews right away. So if you please remember Lightstar's family, and we'll see what Father has planned for him. Although he did tell me when I talked with him that he's going to get Brad a job closer to home that pays more. So, but I still need your prayers. I would also ask you to pray also for other people who are in the same situation. The economy right now is not the greatest. There's a lot of people still out of work. So we'll pray for all of them. I spoke with Father about the whole announcement thing. I noticed on Schomburg's monthly itinerary list that they have, that they have June 2017, they have Chief Apostle in Chicago. And I looked at Father, and he just kind of smiled, and he said, nothing's been announced. I said, oh, I know nothing's been announced. He goes, let us see if they actually move forward with that plan. He goes, and if that does happen, he goes, that is when you would be announced. And I said, okay, sounds good. Hold on. My GPS is taking over my screen. On a momento. Get back to my itinerary. And that's pretty much all I have for this evening. Does anybody have anything else they'd like to add or any concern they got or something they want to share?
This is Atmos. I'd like to.
Okay.
Just last night, Apostle Orlovsky was in town to hold service. As Trilyn mentioned, Wendy was passed, and I don't know if everybody knows exactly what happened, but she was murdered by, I'm supposing, an ex-boyfriend. Long story short, he was possessed, killed himself a couple of days later by stabbing himself in the chest. So last night, he was actually there. He was allowed to come near the church, but not on the church property. He was quite far off church property and held back by a lot of demons. I removed all but two. Two had to stay, and they held him there. And Wendy was in service with all of her ancestors, so I thought that was really cool. And she basically said that since Sunday to last night was kind of her time in paradise to spend with her family, and she's going to work in the realm of the possessed. And that's the same realm it's the same realm that Chris is in, that was her ex-boyfriend. So, my wife Danielle, she meditated late just this last week, and Wendy revealed herself to her and said, "Hey, I just wanted to let you know everything's fine. I love you. Love to my family." And I'm working with Marilyn Monroe. Danielle has a big connection with Marilyn. the two of them are working in the same realm together. So, just wanted to let you guys know.
Wow.
Thank you.
Cool.
Thank you.
So I know there's been some confusion as to what time the meetings are, because I changed the last one that we had to 6 p.m. So here's how it stands. On Sundays, the meetings will always be 5 p.m. Central. On Fridays, they'll always be 6 p.m. Central. Because we're all working during the week, so I figured I would go an hour later than normal. And then on Sundays, we usually kind of are more open with our schedules, and that's why I picked 5 p.m., 6 p.m. for you Eastern folk. But that's kind of the way we're going to leave it, okay, please? So sorry I confused everybody with changing the times the last time, but that's how it's going to be. So the next meeting is 5 p.m., Sunday, April 10th. I'm going to pray, and then I asked Trisis if he would pray after me. Is there anything else anybody has? Okay. If you hear men screaming, that'll be because I closed my eyes and my angels are freaking out. All right. I'll keep my eyes open. Here we go. All right. Kind Father, as we step before you, we all bow. I want to take a moment, and I want to ask you to take a moment and look at these, my friends, that you picked millions or billions of years ago to stand by my side, and all of them are. And you and I have conversations all the time about how proud I am of them, of their courage, of their strength, and of their undying love for you, and that even when you test all of us, to the point that we feel that maybe our faith is going to snap, we still stand here, Father. And I want you to take a minute, and I want you to see these hearts that you created, that you filled with the love and all the gifts that you've given us, that you have entrusted us to protect the bride. And she is a huge task. But we feel that we at least owe this to our big brother for all that he's done for us. And even in some small way, Father, we feel that we might even be able to repay him in the slightest way because you've chosen us for this task. I know these hearts that are standing in front of you have battled and have been through so many difficult things over the last 3 weeks. Even though you gave us this working vacation, I would rather go back on full time, please, because this working vacation sucks. So please look at these hearts, Father, and give us the strength that we need to move forward. There is a love that we have for one another. There is a respect. There is a bond that has now been established between all of us because of this one common task. And we will not give up. We will not walk away, Father, from this enormous responsibility. I even have Lauren. She's standing next to me, too, because we want her back on the team, Father. And then there's others that need to be added. When they are ready, then, Father, you'll present them to us. But we want to get the core established We want to be able, Father, to complete this task because all of us just want to come home. That's it in a nutshell. You know the hearts that are here. You know those who are unemployed. You know eternity has surrounded us greatly. Certain groups have been coming forward and more will, as you said. We will do our best, Father, to tell everyone around us of these realms and what is their effect. And we will try our best, Father, to continue to pray for them every day. And that we too, Father, we ask in this moment that you will give us all the courage and the strength that's needed, that we can restrain ourselves and control ourselves in the example that our brother left. That no matter how horrible things are, no matter how desperate or bad they may feel, maintain our calm, we maintain our dignity, and we do not give Satan a chance to even come to you with a whisper of how we made a mistake. I know that's a huge task, but with you anything is possible. So, Father, I lay all these hearts before you. I bring also my concerns for our friend Tom, who is still battling evil. We have had numerous emails going back and forth. I know he's being tormented. I pray, Father, for extra strength for him and for tranquility in the boys. That you will somehow, Father, when the time is right, give him some respite, that he can have some peace, that he can have a life that's normal, whatever the definition of that is, because we don't have that, but that he can, Father, have some kind of peace for himself, that he can function with the family, love the family, and spend time with his family. Provide, Father, anything that I have forgotten. We look forward to this weekend and pray already for a special blessing on Sunday. And because I am your son, then I have the right to petition on behalf of my team that you will forgive them and me for all the things that we've done that are wrong. Whatever it is, Father, we didn't do it on purpose or out of spite. Maybe we even did some things that we're not even aware we did. Anything that we did to create separation between you and I'm asking you now, Father, to please forgive us on Sunday. And on Sunday too, brother, if you would please give us an extra portion of strength through your body and blood, we appreciate that too. And if there's anything, Father, now that I've forgotten, I pray that you will cover it with your grace. Know how much we love you. That we always bend to your will, Father. Whatever you want is what we want. We love you. Amen.
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 Amen. Tristus. Dear Father, we thank you. Dear Father, we thank you for your patience, and we thank you for your grace. It's been a heck of a time. A lot we could complain about, but we don't. We're starting to understand your wisdom. Not all of it, of course, but we start questioning, and that's not the place. In the last few weeks, I've learned so much about the humility needed to be a good servant, and being able to see how human beings can be good to strangers. We ask that, Father, that those that have cared for us, of course, they are blessed, Father, and those that do this for a living, for all the millions of people that are sick, Father, they're unique, that they can have a blessing beyond what they would consider normal, Father, that they can feel your love. We thank you, Father, for letting us be able to have the experiences and the interpersonal relationships with the different people, because we are learning that there is a certain strength from the weakness of the human condition. And people have commented on what type of person I am, which is funny, because I don't think I'm anything different. But apparently it's needed that you can show the team or show off the team of what's needed for this world. We thank you, Father, for your patience, and we ask for your continued strength. We ask, Father, for the blessings for our families and those that don't quite understand what we do, that their hearts will open, there'll be a warmness and an acceptance of the guardian ministry, if we can call it that, and the position that we hold in your court, that we're not doing this to make a name for ourselves, and we're doing it merely as an option that you have given us to serve you, and that when it is brought out, that people can see that, and it is not some bombastic type style or some braggadocio that we do, but that we are truly a servant for you. That's our only purpose, and we ask for your strength, and we ask for your patience so that we can be patient not only with ourselves, but with the people that you've commanded us to love. Because sometimes it's difficult, Father. Even in the funeral, the district elder brought that if we start to judge how you should think, we drag you down to our level, and that's not right. So we ask for your strength. And we ask that we can be able to exude that to those that watch us and that listen to us, and that we can be the example you need us to be. We ask this all in thy Son's name, Jesus. Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. I love you.
Thanks. Love you guys, too.
Thank you. Love you guys.
Love you.
Love you all.
Susan, can you stay on a little bit?
Sure.
Okay. Night, everybody.
You too. Up tonight. Night.
Yeah.